Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your great, humble, and sexy host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
Our good friend, Clintus.
What's up?
The heart of the show, Eric.
What up?
And one of the biggest wrestling fans, smartest guys we know, Stevie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How's everyone doing tonight?
You are every one of us.
Pretty good. Friday.
Good.
Yep.
TGI. You gotta watch it.
Much better, right?
Oh, okay. All right. New generation roster tier rankings, part D. We're gonna get into that, but first, we're gonna go to Doug with some news.
Okay. So news, not plugs.
Plug the news.
Okay. So, real quick with the news. As everybody knows, or I'm sure everybody knows by now, there were some big releases. Was it yesterday or the day before?
Day before.
Okay.
So
WWE, due to what they're calling budget cuts, released the following names: Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, Lana, Ruby Riott, Murphy, and Santana Garrett. They're calling it budget cuts. They say that there's more coming. I know Eric told us, like, who they were planning on, but that hadn't been officially released
yet.
It hadn't been
just a rumor.
Released and or confirmed. As a matter of fact, somebody called the person that leaked that a complete moron.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, no, I didn't. We're not calling you a complete moron. We're calling the person you got that from a complete moron.
Okay.
So there are gonna, from what we've heard, there are more coming. It's purely speculation at this point. I know we kind of got into it. You know, the other day in our group chat. But basically what this is, again, it's just budget cuts. It's the new, I think he's like an executive vice president or whatever he is, Nick Khan, who actually took over the role last year, last August. Basically, he's a new suit. He came in. He's actually the one that negotiated the Peacock deal. Vince McMahon basically Vince McMahon basically charged this guy with save me money.
Yeah.
Save me money.
Save the company.
Save the company money. Do what you got to do. Trim whatever you got to trim. And Vince gave him his blessing. All right. The network, you know, going to Peacock. You know, that was a trim. Braun Strowman is actually one of the bigger contracts because he's one of the bigger stars. So it doesn't make sense on a standpoint of this guy is always featured on television, but it makes sense on a financial standpoint as to why they would get rid of him.
Yeah.
Well, does anyone believe that they're actually going to sell the company?
Because that's the rumors with everything, that this means that they might
I think,
company.
Well, here's my belief on it. I believe Vince McMahon knows he's going to retire soon. And if Vince McMahon retires, he does not want anyone in WWE running WWE except for him. He doesn't want Stephanie to run it. He doesn't want Triple H to run it. In his family, either he runs it or somebody. Or they sell it.
Yeah.
So I think that is one of the things. I do think that he basically told Nick Khan, he's like, look, shop this around. Now, again, and I kind of got, you know, lambasted for this. But, you know, the rumor going around, and I know we kind of all tried to, or at least one of us tried to start our own rumor saying who should buy the company. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be Eric Bischoff. It's not going to be New Japan. All right? And the reason why is because Nick Khan is not, or Vince McMahon is not going to sell it to a wrestling company. He's going to sell it to an entertainment company.
Yep.
Because they don't look at WWE as wrestling. WWE is entertainment.
Yeah, but who's less wrestling than Eric Bischoff? He's the one wrestling guy that's not really a wrestling guy.
And I can actually tell you right now, though, with full confidence, Eric Bischoff does not want to buy this thing.
It'd be interesting.
It would be. I'm not saying it wouldn't be interesting.
I like the idea.
I wouldn't say it wouldn't be. I'm not saying it wouldn't be interesting. But the thing is that with Bischoff buying it, and Bischoff, I think, would have good ideas for the company. But the problem is Bischoff and New Japan are not the type of buyers WWE is looking for. WWE is looking for a big conglomerate.
Yeah.
Like an NBC or
ESPN
or Disney. Okay? Something that WWE can bunch into. All right? Eric, you might actually know this, because I know you do follow New Japan. How many subscribers does New Japan World have that are not Japanese?
That are not Japanese?
I mean, I'm sure that New Japan Pro Wrestling is popular in Japan, but how popular is it really outside of the States?
I think it's gone down a little bit over the years since some people are left.
All right, so
it's so big, though.
Like, if you talk about bigness, it's bigger than AEW. Okay, but, like, subscriber numbers.
Yeah.
Can everybody ballpark a subscriber number? That is not...
It's probably the second biggest company right now.
Okay.
But I mean, that's a global market, though. They would make money.
I don't see it happening. Also, too, you got to remember, New Japan is having their own problems right now.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I think it's all he say, she say.
Yeah. I mean, and it's all speculation, and it's, you know, it's fantasy speculation. And there's nothing wrong with fantasy speculation. It's just you also have to be, you know, it does have to be a little bit of reality that creeps in. It's like, you know what, maybe this won't work.
All right, so I have a question for you then. Why is Vince so afraid of keeping the company within itself and as a family? He was the one that bought it from his father.
Because he realized he does not want anybody, because you know how for years people have said, oh, you know, when Triple H started NXT and NXT actually became a better product than Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, still is.
He doesn't want Triple H to take it over because he's afraid that, you know, people will be proven right that Triple H can do a better job than him.
Yeah, but that's that's thinking outside of reality, though, because he's a businessman.
It's all an ego thing.
You got to put a little reality into that, too. At the end of the day, they love the business, they love the company, and they've convinced us all of that, but they also love the almighty dollar. If he thinks Triple H is best for business, I think Triple H will be running the company.
I don't know if Triple H is best for business, but I know Triple H is best creatively because he will push the talent. The problem is that with the way a lot of that talent had been treated, will that talent make the company money?
Yeah, and even without that, like, wrestling's just not as popular as it
was. Yeah.
And, like, people don't want to – like, people aren't paying money to see the Seth Rollins and the Great Workers and the Finn Balors and the stuff. It's just the way it is. They're not stars yet.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more like buried the stars, let's put it that way, than made them stars.
Yeah, no, I understand. I don't think we can put all the blame on the company, though, because they have put these guys out every week, and people still aren't watching them.
They have no people have other things they would rather watch. Look at all the reality TV that's on out there. Okay? And with the summer coming up, people are going to want to watch Big Brother.
Yep.
Big Brother's coming up. All these other fucking reality shows. And trust me, a lot of reality TV sucks, in my opinion. Some of it is actually fun to watch.
All entertainment.
People would rather watch that shit. So, no, it's not as popular as it was, but I think that's why Vince wouldn't mind selling to an entertainment conglomerate like NBC Universal or Disney. Because they could make, if they wanted to, they could make WWE popular again.
How? I'm just going to throw this name out.
I can't
see
Disney making WWE popular again.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking outside the box here.
Eric, go ahead.
Dana White.
That is actually
just thinking
like
outside the box.
That is actually kind of a realistic name. The problem is that Dana White has spent so many years trash talking WWE and the sports entertainment business.
That's true,
like,
yeah.
It wouldn't make sense on a level is that, like, he could turn a lot of those guys into UFC fighters if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But then it's also, like, people can look at him and be like, you spent years trash-talking these guys, now you're buying it?
I got an idea.
Go ahead.
What about ESPN?
That is a good one, and that actually makes it. That's one of those entertainment conglomerates that I'm talking about, and they can make it more sports-based. ESPN is no stranger to wrestling.
ESPN is also, that has something to do with Dana White and all that, because all their shit's on ESPN Plus, too.
Yeah.
So
they can group all that shit together.
It's a realistic choice, but it's also like, I don't like the whole sports-centric thing with wrestling that they've been doing anyway. I think that's why it's been losing money and people don't watch it. It's because it's sports-centric. Because I think people, if they want sports, they can just watch the UFC or boxing or something.
Yeah.
They want the storylines and the fun, you know, Attitude Era type stuff.
Right.
Just my opinion.
I mean, you're
exactly.
not Attitude Era, though.
I know, but it would be nice to get more storytelling. Like,
no, you're not wrong. All right.
Let's get into this tier list.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Do you want to read off the book to
see
what we've already done? Me, Doug, and Stevie already did a part one of this, so.
All right. Already on the list, in Elite, we have Razor Ramon, Owen Hart, Yokozuna, and Bret Hart. In Very Good, we have Savio Vega, which obviously I forgot about, or else I would have picked a different theme. Sonny, the Smoking Guns, Mankind / Dude Love, Jim Cornette, Goldust, Jeff Jarrett, Kama Mustafa, and Marlena. Mediocre, we have Ahmed Johnson, Takumu Tinoku, The Body Donnas, Damian Demento, Brooklyn Brawler, Bob Sparkplug Holly, and Bull Nakano. In Mare, we have Aldo Montoya, Marty Jannetty, Waylon Murphy, Isaac and DDS. And in Trash, we have Dean Douglas, Leif Cassidy, The Executioner, Barry Windham, Bastion Booger, and Man Mountain Rock.
All right. And I'm definitely going to be repeating names, so just let me know, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember all that shit. But, Eric, we're going to start with you, and I want something big here because we're doing your favorite wrestler. New Generation Era was defined by a few individuals. One of those individuals is Shawn Michaels. What do you think?
Early Shawn Michaels? It's pretty much early Shawn Michaels, right?
Well, not early. It's early main eventer Shawn Michaels. This is when he became the guy, pretty much.
Yeah.
Except the way he's seen.
Yeah, I'm going to put him in. Is it Elite, right?
Yeah.
I think this is where he probably took the torch from Bret Hart. This is where he became that superstar that we all know and love sometimes. But he was still a dick during that time, as Doug has alluded to a couple times on the show, which is true. Yep. But, yeah, this is where he became a single star and the main eventer. Yeah.
Doug? Okay. So we're 93, 97, basically, right?
Yeah.
And you got to remember, kind of in this time period, how many championships this guy had won in between 93 and 97. And so he's basically, he won the Intercontinental title basically three times in this period. Tag team champion once, WWF champion a couple of times. But look at how many
European
times.
Title?
Yeah, tag team title as well once. Look at how many times the guy has lost the title. I said three Intercontinental reigns, one tag title reign, two WWF title reigns, right?
Yeah.
He's
and one European.
Yeah, look at it like that. When he was WWE champion, he had to, like, not have lost it, but technically he was already injured. So he's, like, forced to drop the title.
Allegedly. Here's the thing. He's famous for as many titles as he's won. He didn't really lose all of them. He gave them all up due to quote unquote injury. This is basically
screw job.
This is peak bastard Shawn Michaels. Okay. However, you cannot argue, even though I'm going to try, you cannot argue how good he was in the ring. The problem is that.
Yeah.
He was starting to realize how good he was, and he was not letting anybody forget it. But because of the matches he was able to put on, he is elite.
His two ladder matches with Razor were classics.
Two ladder matches with Razor. I mean, those matches basically define him.
Those two matches put him on the map, especially the first one.
Yeah. Well,
on the map as the main eventer. I mean,
you're right. This is probably the most selfish Shawn Michaels, but this is the definitive Shawn Michaels in the ring.
Yeah.
And work-wise. And if you're a real Shawn Michaels fan, you're like, he's the best wrestler of all time, this is the era you need to watch. This is when every night he was putting on 10-star matches like it was nothing. And what do you think, Quinn?
All point was elite. I mean, I liked Shawn and the character around that time. I was a big fan of him. He was always one of my favorites. So, yeah, he will be elite.
Steve?
I know Stevie's a big Thomas fan, too.
Yeah, I am. I watched all of his matches growing up, so I'd probably put him in the elite. He had a great career.
Very good career. Yeah. I mean, and again, a lot of it started in this time. Now, the thing is that, like, the two matches with Razor kind of defined him. Everything else is just, like, he really didn't have – I mean, he had a couple of good matches with Diesel.
Oh, you are good.
I think the storyline was better in the matches.
I think most of his matches in this era was good.
Say that they suck. SummerSlam 93 match with Perfect was kind of blah. Obviously, the Iron Man match with Bret sucked.
There's a lot of people who love it, too, though.
Wait, you think that Iron Man match sucked?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Unfortunately, the era ended with the Montreal Screwjob for him.
But
and
I
then
think
he went to retirement. Then he went retirement.
That match was
got injured and retired. Yeah, it was a good match.
All right. Shawn Michaels is an elite. Let's talk about Jerry Lawler.
And what's funny about him is the fact that in 93 through 97, he was still wrestling.
Yeah.
And I think his feud with Brett would put him in very good.
Yeah.
The feud with Brett.
Yeah,
yeah, very good.
The feud he did with Doink was actually pretty entertaining.
He worked a couple of guys, though.
It was mainly Brett and Doink. The stuff with Jake Roberts I didn't like.
Ah, that's what I was going to bring up. I liked his stuff with Jake Roberts.
I mean,
I know he was that annoying heel.
Jake Roberts didn't like the stuff with Jake Roberts.
Well, because it was personal.
Yeah. But
he was
yeah,
that annoying heel during that time.
He was a great heel.
He was a great heel, and he was funny.
No, he was a great heel, but he was annoying heel. That's what I'm trying to say. Great, but annoying.
Which is what you're supposed to be. I mean, I'm going to automatically say he was very good just because of the stuff he did with Brett and because I was actually entertained by the Doink shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good, definitely.
What do you think, Stevie?
Yeah, I put him in as very good. He had some good matches with Brett, so I would say very good.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing. Very good.
Yes, sir. All right, very good. Now, did we do Flash Funk last time?
I don't have him written. I don't have him written down.
All right, Flash Funk, formerly known as Too Cold Scorpio. We talked about him on the ECW tier list. I think we might have did him on a WCW tier list, too. Where's the Funk Man going on our new generation tier list?
The thing is, it was a great character, and it was very flamboyant, and it would have worked in that time. Had they debuted him in like 94, 95, he would have gotten super over. See, he was getting over here. The problem is that Vince basically brought him in, pushed him for like a month, and then decided he was just going to do jobs.
Yeah.
And
so I'm going to say mid.
I'm going to say middle of the road or mediocre. Because I like the character, and I think he did get over.
Yeah, he did.
What do we plan in ECW? I forgot.
Hold on, I'll try to find it.
I thought we put him very good.
Want to throw it to the rest of the guys?
Yeah. What do you think, Clinton?
Yeah. I am going to say middle of the road.
All right, Stevie?
I'm probably going to say middle of the road.
All right, back to you, Doug.
Okay. I can't find the ECW roster around here. I know we did one. I just can't find it.
Oh, it doesn't matter. So where are you putting him, Eric?
I'm putting him in mid.
Okay.
All right, but everybody else said mediocre middle of the road. So
that's what we'll put. All right. Next up, you ready, Doug?
Go ahead.
Brian Pillman.
Had he come in, oh, and by the way, Too Cold Scorpio was very good in our ECW tier list. When he come in, he didn't have the broken ankle and he wanted to do, you know, that loose cannon character stuff. He, you know, and actually have some matches. He would have been very good. The problem is that what they gave him and how far he went, I didn't like it. I'm actually just going to say meh.
Brian Pillman?
Yeah.
Okay. Stevie, what's your thoughts on Mr. Pillman?
Oh, I'll say nah.
Okay. Eric?
I'm going to say middle of the road. Unfortunately, his career and life ended shortly, as we know.
Damn. I wasn't expecting this. Quintus, do we get any love from Pillman from you, or what do you think?
Yeah, I am really surprised with all you guys, but I'm really going to say he's very good.
Well, new generation, right?
Yeah.
We're judging him in that new generation period.
Yes.
He was more Attitude Era.
He died like 2 weeks into that Attitude Era. What are you talking about? When did he die? 97?
Yeah, like October 97. He started the Attitude Era in August.
Yeah, so he was there for 3 months. The whole stuff with Austin and the Gun, that is that Attitude Era technically? Is that New Generation?
No.
I mean,
that's New Generation.
There you go. That's a memorable moment. The stuff with Goldust, that was New Generation. Or no, that's Attitude Era.
Yeah.
But I'm putting him in very good. Bryman Pitt, first of all, he played everybody because he was on WCW, ECW, and WWE in what, like the same week or some shit like that?
Yeah, because he did Uncensored. He did. He didn't do Uncensored. He did the Nitro before Uncensored, and he was supposed to be at Uncensored.
Wow.
But he actually Bischoff told him to miss the Uncensored show so he could go make the ECW booking. Well, actually, Bischoff says he told him that.
Yeah.
Kim Wood says no. I told him that. Kim Wood, of course, was his mentor. Who surprisingly is still alive, by the way. But he said he's like, no, I told Brian to miss that booking because, you know, him and Bischoff kind of had something worked out. Bischoff thought in his mind that Pillman was coming back.
Yeah.
Pillman wanted to go work for the WWF. But he also wanted to do the ECW stuff because Paul Heyman was a friend of his.
I'm putting him in very good.
All right, so we got 2-2-1.
Yeah, put him in the middle of the road.
Okay.
All right.
Borderline.
What are your favorite sports is hockey. So that's why you're going to be the first person to talk about the Goon. Not Doug, like the character, the Goon.
I don't remember him that much, so I'm going to say meh.
All right, Dougie.
All right, I'll take it from here.
Go ahead.
So the Goon, it was Wild Bill Irwin. And this is around the time, so this is in 96 when a lot of these characters were coming in. And these were a lot of guys that, big territory stars.
Yeah.
You know, also it was the same thing with Flash Funk. So Bill Irwin, Tracy Smothers, Tony Anthony, Alex Porto came in. I think there was a few other guys or whatever. Tom Brandy, he came in. Vince slapped gimmicks on all because he still wanted to do the character thing. And Goon was actually Bill Irwin's idea. Bill actually grew up, even though Bill was Wild Bill Irwin for so long, Bill Irwin grew up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
He liked hockey. They asked him, I think it was actually JR, that Bill, you know, we don't want to have you as Wild Bill Irwin. We don't want to have you as a Super Destroyer. What are your other interests? He goes, well, I was a hockey goon. And they're like, really? He goes, yeah, I was a hockey player. I was a goon. So Bill actually designed his own wrestling boots. And the boots kind of had like a fake like blade on the bottom of them to actually look like ice skates.
Yeah.
Bill Irwin designed his own, and then Bill was actually trying to come up with stuff for him to do. Like, he would pitch stuff to the office. He actually wanted to be The Rock's first main program.
Really?
Yeah. He wanted to do a best of seven series with The Rock for, like, a Stanley's Cup. But they turned it down because, you know.
Bad idea.
Yeah. But he was trying to get himself over. Now, it was a bad, it was not a great gimmick, but you got to give credit to somebody who was actually trying. It's not like, you know, somebody that was just saddled with a gimmick and he just, he let it go to the shits, like Terry Taylor did with the Red Rooster.
Yeah.
The whole damn thing was Bill Irwin's idea. Now, unfortunately, it was a mediocre gimmick. But I will give him A for effort.
Where are you putting him?
Mediocre.
All right, Quintus?
Quintus? Oh, man. But yeah, if I had to say anything, I will put him in like middle of the road at the end. All
right. Stevie?
I would say mediocre. All
right, let's put him mediocre.
Okay.
And I'm going to toss it back to you, Doug, the Steiner brothers.
Oh, shit, this is going to hurt. They came in, they were the top of the tag team division. But also the tag team division was kind of, you know, floundering at that point. But they came in and they were booked as really good tag team. The issue is that Vince really didn't play the WWF was not really a place for amateur wrestlers. And the Steiner brothers really did. I mean, you know, Rick had the character, you know, had the character and all that. And,
yeah, the Gremlins.
Yeah. But they just, I don't think they really got over with the WWF audience.
Yeah.
Unless they did the WCW audience. And that whole bullshit with the Quebecers, it sucked. Unfortunately, and I love the Steiner brothers, I got to put them in mediocre.
I mean, they won the tag titles twice, both on house shows. But...
yeah. I mean, they did have a good series of matches with Money Inc. Their WrestleMania match with the Head Shrinkers was really good. But after that, it went downhill.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to say middle of the road. So I think the WWE was like one of the worst. It wasn't a big. It wasn't their fit.
I agree. Eric.
I'm going to say middle of the road too. They weren't.
Right.
They were more over in WWE for sure.
Oh, for sure. Stevie.
I'd say middle of the road.
All right, middle of the room. Kevin Nash, Big Diesel.
I'll start. I'm such a big Kevin Nash fan.
Hey, if you like Sean, you gotta like Diesel.
Okay. I actually like Diesel in this during this era. So I'm going to say very good. I think his character was pretty good, and especially with Shawn Michaels. I think that whole feud and being best friends, and that was pretty cool. That got me hooked. So I'm going to say very good.
All righty. Eric. Or you're Eric. Never mind. Quintus.
I'm actually going to put him as elite. I think Diesel was like one of the biggest like big men out there and had a special one as champion in the WWE. Not only that, was co-holder of the WWE and tag team champions too. I'm going to put him as elite.
Yep.
Absolutely. Stevie?
I would say I put him in as the elite. He had a good career in the WWF than he ever did in WCW, so I put him in the elite.
Oh, that's facts. Huh. Even though he retired the NWO, still.
No, I'm not talking about the NWO. I'm talking about when he started in WCW, not the NWO thing.
Oh, it's like the Wizard?
Yeah, the Wizard, Vinny Vegas, and you know.
That's a true statement.
Yeah. I'm not agreeing with it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now he would be elite. Now because like this is a, this is like an where the business really wasn't that good. Like he is elite. Now, he is technically considered one of the worst drawing champions of all time. Obviously, you know, pre-pandemic because, you know, technically Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre are the worst drawing champions of all time because they couldn't draw anything.
Thunderdome had a lot of screens.
But Diesel's thing, and here's the thing, I don't think anybody really wanted him to succeed.
For the click.
Because if they wanted him to succeed, they would have put him with better opponents. I mean, yes, Sean.
Brett.
Sean, Brett.
Undertaker. He wrestled some pretty good guys.
I mean, Scott. Well, no, I'm talking about in his champion run.
I'm talking about the New Generation era.
The problem is that when champion, he had to work Sid, Mabel. The match with Bulldog was horrible.
His fault, though, not Bulldog.
So, but as a... So, but in that era, yes, he was one of the stars, but I'm just going to say very good.
We'll put him on the borderline of elite and very good. Let's talk about Rad Radford. Does anyone know that name?
Don't ring a bell.
Doesn't ring a bell.
No, I've never heard of his name, Rad Radford.
I would put him in Matt, and it's nothing against Louis Spicoli. It's just one of those things. Spicoli came in. Spicoli was one of the guys that had been brought in when Smoky Mountain closed. He got over in Smoky Mountain. He was one of Cornette's boys.
Yeah.
He was really good friends with Candido. But he didn't click in the WWF. So I would just say man.
Let's talk about another big tag team. Well done.
Well done.
Timothy Wells, Stephen Dunn. The only thing there's two things Stephen Dunn is actually known for, and none of it has to do with the WWF. The first thing actually being he was in the ring when Scott Hall came down and cut that promo on that Nitro.
Was he?
Yeah, he was wrestling Mike Enos. And the second thing he's known for is being in a coma for 3 years before they finally pulled the plug and he died.
That's a somber note.
So he's more known for that than he is for anything he did in the WWF. The tag team just sucked. So trash.
Does anyone else know Well Done? We're getting this in trash now.
Yeah, I've seen them wrestle.
You think they're trash, Stevie?
Yeah, they're definitely in the trash section. Not a great tag team.
All right. Let's talk about Hakushi.
So, great gimmick. The problem is that they turned him babyface. But, like, the matches with Brett were really good.
The match with 2-3 Kid was really good, too.
That SummerSlam match, yeah. That was the perfect way to start that pay-per-view.
Why didn't he last long? He felt like he would have been really good. He was, like,
I think he missed Japan. He missed Japan, and when they turned him babyface and had him be Barry Horowitz's tag team partner.
Yeah, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much the gist of it. I mean, if they would have kept him as a heel, he would have been very good. But the problem is that they turned him and then they just started jobbing him out.
Yeah.
And so I'd just say mediocre.
It's sort of a mediocre. Next up, I'm going to start with Clinton on this one. Sid Vicious. We didn't talk about him yet, did we?
I'm going to actually put him as very good. I mean, I like the how he debuted as Shawn Michaels' new bodyguard after the split with Diesel. The matches with him and Shawn Michaels at a tournament championship, they was also as well done as well. I want to say very good.
All right,
I'm going to say very good, too.
Okay.
I said very good.
Okay.
Love his son.
I'm just glad his son didn't stab somebody with scissors. So Sid's deal was, when Sid came around in that golden era, Vince McMahon kind of fell in love with him.
Yeah.
And he wanted Sid to be the next Hulk Hogan. They were going to push him as the next top babyface.
He's a heel.
Well, that's the thing, is that Sid had even said, he goes, I can't be a babyface. And they're like, well, why not? You'd be good at it. You know, the fans will get behind you. And he looked at Vince and said, I can't. I'm a dick. Like, call anybody over at Turner and ask him if I'd make a good babyface. So, and that was one of the things. And then when they turned him to go against Hogan, everybody wanted to see him beat the shit out of Hogan. That was the problem.
Yeah.
Because in 92, the Hulkamaniacs wanted to puke. Like, they didn't like Hogan anymore. But then he comes in 95 as Shawn's bodyguard. And then he joins the Million Dollar Corporation, which the problem with that is Ted DiBiase, like, he could talk. He was a good promo. But the issue is that he was a good talker for himself. He was not necessarily a good manager.
Who was this?
DiBiase.
Yeah.
So Sid.
Yeah, he was mad.
So Sid being put in there, and then the problem is that him and Diesel didn't really have the good chemistry. Him and Razor had really good chemistry. See, that worked, and then him and Bulldog, you know, they did some really good stuff. Believe it or not, him and Vader's matches were actually on the watch.
Yeah.
So, I actually enjoyed the Diesel and Psycho Sid feud, but I was 10 years old, so.
But so I'm going to say that I'm going to agree and say very good. Just because, like, for somebody that, you know, people do nothing but shit talk, and sometimes rightfully so, because he does not make, you know, his bookings.
Yeah, and he wasn't the greatest in the ring, but he was a good big man.
He was a good big man. The problem is, he did, like, he could do a good powerbomb, but God, that chokeslam looked like shit.
All right. This isn't very good. British Bulldog.
Oh.
I'm going to, oh boy. I'm going to say very good.
He was so close to being elite.
This was his era, too.
This was his best work. But the problem is that they could not get him over as a main event draw.
Not like he was, though. He was so fucking old. They just never gave him the belt.
If they were going to give him the belt, they should have against Diesel. But they wanted to put the belt back on Brett. But I think Bulldog should have won that title in Winnipeg at that In Your House.
Yeah, it would have made
sense. Like, it was set up. It should have happened. Unfortunately, it didn't. But that would have been Bulldog's time. Because then you could have had him go against Shawn. You could have had him go against Brett, Undertaker. There were so many main event level baby faces for him to work with. Shawn, Brett, Taker.
Yep.
You could have moved Razor up. And they could have had a program.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously when they turned Yoko, they could have done stuff with him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say very good. He should have been elite.
He had the potential to be elite.
All right.
I am going to say very good. I say he did better work as a tag team than singles new generation.
What do you think, Stevie?
I say very good. I liked him better as a tag team wrestler.
All right, let's put him in very good. All right, we still got a couple big names left. Bam Bam Bigelow. Stevie, I'll start with you.
Bam Bam Bigelow. It's probably a tough decision, but I'd probably say mediocre because I really never liked the character. I put him in the mediocre section, to be honest.
That's fair. What do you think, Clement?
I wasn't a fan of his.
All right. See, I'll put middle of the road. I'm not a big fan of Bigelow, but yeah, he's more of a bigger middle of the road type of person than me.
All right, Eric.
I kind of like this character, but he was a mid-carder, so I'm going to say middle of the road, too.
All right. Bam Bam goes middle of the road. Next up.
I don't get a vote here.
Well, I see your
what did Doug say?
Yeah, I was just fucking.
Doug didn't
say
anything. I
know. It was on purpose.
Oh.
Go ahead, Dougie.
As a heel, he was very good. But when they turned to babyface, they really fucked. So I'm actually going to say middle of the road.
If it was WCW, I'd probably put him in elite. Or Japan.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I like him better than ECW or anything else.
ECW.
The ECW stuff was really good.
Yeah. And his old Japan stuff is really good.
Yeah.
Even though Japan doesn't count to Doug. But. All right, next up. Tatanka.
As a baby face, in the start, he was very good. You turn him heel, you turn him into shit. So I'm actually going to say, and I'm more than likely going to hell for this, I'm actually going to say he was mad.
He's one of your favorite wrestlers.
I know he is.
Wait.
I'm going to say mad at the road.
You're your favorite.
Ouch. See, I'll put middle of the road. I can't believe you'll put your favorite wrestler in a mess.
It is odd.
It's odd, but unfortunately, it's the truth.
I agree.
So who is this again? Is it you said Tataka, right?
Yeah, Tataka.
Oh, Tataka. You know, I always liked the character Tataka. So I'd probably say very good, because I can't really knock him. You know what I mean? And he was undefeated in his matches.
Yeah.
So I can't really put him nowhere near the mediocre or trash thing.
I agree with you, Stevie. I'd say Tataka's very good.
Okay.
Let's put him on the borderline.
A very good and mediocre?
Yeah.
All right.
Fellow big man, let's talk about Vader. He had an interesting little run here. Some people might say it's disappointing, and I'm going to start with you, Stevie. What do you think of Vader's run in the WWF?
Well, to be honest, Vader's run in the WWF wasn't that great. The only great run he had was in WCW. So I would probably say mediocre. Because he didn't really do that great in the WWF.
What do you think, Doug?
I'm going to agree. Like, 96, he was definitely on the cusp of something. But then, you know, Shawn Michaels happened. And,
Shawn Michaels is a piece of shit.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say mediocre.
Are you really going to blame, like, half of 96, 95 on Shawn Michaels? I mean, really?
Yes. Yeah.
You can't really. Because it happened on the show.
He was okay. On a great push. He was on a good run. And then he got in the ring with that piece of shit. And he called him lazy and fat and was screaming at him and made Vader look like a dick. And they never pushed him after that. I blame Vader's failure of a run on Shawn Michaels.
I'm going
to
say mediocre.
I'll say Vader is meh. He was more of a WCW star trying to find his way in WWE. It never worked out.
Yeah.
You can just tell by the way they were using him.
All right, put him in meh. All right, now we're going to start the speed round, gentlemen. I'm going to give you all a list of names, just first thing that comes out of your head, and put them in a cat. Let's start. The Godwins.
These two guys get so much shit, but they were my favorite tag team. But with that being said, I would actually have to say mediocre.
No, I wrote.
Okay.
I'd say mediocre.
I'll say middle of the road.
All right, throw them in the middle of the road. The Heavenly Bodies.
Trash.
Awesome. Oh, I'm just joking. Trash.
I say trash.
Trash.
Okay.
All right, Duke the Dumpster Drosse.
Horrible gimmick. But actually not a bad worker. So I'm just going to say meh.
I want to say trash.
Trash.
Trash. Right, Duke. Definitely trash.
Trash.
Just round guy, faster.
Trash.
The Ringmaster, a.k.a. Steve Austin.
If we're going Ringmaster, unfortunately, that was meh.
I'd say middle of the road.
I see now.
Towards the end, it was starting to come.
All right.
Yeah. Middle of the road.
Middle of the road. Freddie Joe Lloyd.
also known as Tracy Smothers.
Again, really good worker, bad gimmick. So, unfortunately, I have to say trash.
Put him in trash.
Okay, trash.
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 Hunter Hearst Helmsley's in trash?
No, they were answering the last one. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Very good.
See, absolutely very good.
It was very good.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. Rocky Maivia.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good. He still had a good run.
He had a
big run.
Start.
Yeah.
Can we do Mabel?
No.
Mabel.
Mediocre.
I'll say good.
I'll say very good. I thought he was good.
I'll go mediocre. Put him on the borderline.
Okay.
All right. The Sultan.
Bad game. Really good work.
The Sultan. It was Rikishi before Rikishi, but he was the Sultan.
Okay.
Bad gimmick. Really good worker. Mediocre.
Mediocre.
I'll go
mediocre.
All right, guys, last name. This doesn't have to be a speed one. Where are we putting the Undertaker?
Elite.
Also Elite.
He was starting to show that he could work, so Elite.
There you have it. That is our new generation tier list. I think we got through a lot of the names, to be honest.
Did we miss any?
I know we missed a few, but...
Farouk. Where are we putting Farouk?
Unfortunately, because this is the start of that stupid gladiator helmet.
Yeah, but the Nation stuff was cool.
The Nation stuff was really cool, so I'd say very good.
I'd say very good.
I'd say...
How about Godfather?
I'd say very good.
Godfather was more attitude than...
Yeah.
Well, we did Kama Mustafa.
Okay.
Bill Charles. Crush. That's what we'll end with. Let's stop on Crush.
All right. Babyface Hawaiian Crush, really good. So very good. Evil Crush, mediocre. Jailbird Crush was actually, like, it was fun watching him just beat the shit out of people and then trying to watch Clarence Mason, who actually is a real attorney, by the way. Trying to watch Clarence Mason. I mean, Clarence Mason, basically, he's a walking example of every scumbag lawyer you see on Law & Order.
That's funny.
Hey.
Don't tell me you don't see scumbag lawyers on Law & Order.
And there is.
But I'm actually going to put Prussian very good.
Yeah, I'd say very good.
All right.
Say mediocre.
Let's give Crush's due. And then we're done now. So go ahead and list off the list, Doug, and then we'll take it home.
All right, an Elite. All together, we have Razor Ramon, Owen Hart, Yokozuna, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Diesel, and very good, Savio Vega, Sonny, Smoking Guns, Mankind / Dude Love, Jim Cornette, Goldust, Jeff Jarrett, Kama Mustafa, Marlena, Jerry the King Lawler, Psycho Sid, British Bulldog, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Rocky Maivia, Farouk, Crush. On the borderline, we have Mabel Tatanka and Brian Pillman. Mediocre, we have Ahmed Johnson, Takamuchi Noka, The Body Down is Damian Domeno, Brooklyn Brawler, Bob Sparkplug Holly, Bull Nakano, Flash Funk, The Goon, The Steiner Brothers, Sakushi, Bam Bam Bigelow, The Godwins, The Ringmaster, and The Salt. And man, we have Aldo Montoya, Marty Jannetty, Waylon Mercy, Isaac Yankin, DDS, Rad Radford, and Vader, and Trash, Dean Douglas, Leaf Cassidy, Executioner, Barry Windham, Bastion Booger, Man Mountain Rock, Well Done, Heavenly Bodies, Duke the Dumpster Drossi, Mantar, and Tracy Smothers.
So there you go. That is our new generation tier list. Before we head out, don't forget to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Boxman and Smark, every Wednesday after AEW and every Friday after SmackDown. Make sure to check us out at 6:30 every Friday for this show, Unscripted Wrestling. Every Saturday mornings at around 11 for the Unscripted Unlimited show. And every Sunday at 3 for the Scaredy Cat show. And also Saturday nights for whatever we're planning. We're doing UFC tomorrow, so make sure to check it out. Anybody got anything else?
All I can say is that for all eight, we just gave Duke the Dumpster Drossi. We may drive him back into drinking. So I hope you guys can live with that.
I'll be fine.
You could have just said, oh, well, the guy is does a podcast about how he's a recovering alcoholic and how he battled alcoholism. And I tried to give him props. Everybody else just shit on him. I mean, I hope you guys can live with yourselves.
Yeah, I think.
I will sleep peacefully in my bed tonight, yo.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Doug.
See, at least somebody apologized.
And on that note, we will see everyone next week.
Yeah, your boyfriend.
Yeah.
We'll end on that. Have a good one, guys.
Yep. Later.
Later.